couple of verses out of Hebrews. First verse of Hebrews. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. What I want to get to you out of this is that back in the Old Testament time, God spake to the people, and he called them the fathers by the prophets. Holy prophets of old spake in times past by the power of God, and he spake to the people in that time. When Christ came, Christ spoke to us, and God spoke to the people by his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to understand. And Moses said that God would raise up a prophet like unto him. He says, him shall ye hear in all things. Not just part way, but all things. And if we're going to listen to Christ in all things, we've got to listen to the things that he had his servants write as a record and leave here for our guidance. It takes in a lot of territory. And I want you to realize the territory that it takes in. Not only scripturally, but it takes in a lot of things that we do. As we studied in our Sunday school lesson, the things of Christ that we desire, that we should have following us, the signs that follow the believers, it all falls back on our own shoulders, whether we get them or whether we don't. Like over in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, I'm going to read verse 2. That other I read was out of chapter 1, and I read verses 1 and 2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. And he's speaking of the fathers here. The gospel was preached unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Now he's speaking of those farther back. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know that we find that same condition today. A lot of times, the word of God preached to the people today doesn't profit because of the lack of the faith of the people. Maybe a lot of times it has a backfire too, and it makes it so that the man that's talking don't have the faith that it's going to get where he desires it to go. But it shows here that the preaching of the gospel didn't profit those there because they didn't have faith. I hope that we as a people, well, we're not very many here, can exercise greater faith than we have seen sometimes, so that we may learn and understand a lot of the things that Christ caused to be left here for our guidance. I'm going to go back now to one of the old prophets and read some of the things that he told the people there, and it's left written some of us don't, shall we say, come not down. And shall I say, Paul 3:3? I'm going to read out of Ezekiel. You know, a lot of times while I'm talking about something else, I'll tell you, well, back in Ezekiel, he does the rest of the thing. Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, I'm going to begin with verse 20, and I'm going to read about two verses. And I want you to try to listen and maybe understand. A lot of times, we're like Alma told one person, said that if he had read the scriptures, he didn't understand them. You know, a lot of times I think we do the same thing. We read the scriptures, but we don't understand them. And if we read the scriptures and don't understand what they're talking about, we should stop and pray unto our Heavenly Father that He would give us of His Spirit so that we could understand. But a lot of times, I don't believe we do. The first sentence, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Would that be enough to make us stop and look about and look at ourselves? It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Like I said in my Sunday school lesson, this throws it right back on our individual shoulders. We're not going to be condemned for the acts of another. Neither is another going to be condemned for our actions. That's what I'm trying to read to you out of these scriptures. All his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned. Wait a minute, I left out a verse, I better go back. "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die." This is talking about the wicked man that changes his ways, and his real estate turns over in the leaf. He says, if he turns from his wicked ways, he shall not die. All his transgression that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him, and his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. And now you know, I have been told that when we come to that judgment, the bar of God, that Our gauge is going to be on a balance, and our wickedness on one side and our righteousness on the other. Whichever our way, that's the way our judgment is going to be. Ezekiel doesn't say that. But he says, when you turn from your wickedness to righteousness, your wickedness is not going to be remembered. Likewise, if you turn from righteousness to wickedness, your righteousness is not going to be remembered. And that's just not going to put them on a balanced scale, like I have been told. So, should I believe man, or should I believe the scriptures? If God caused these scriptures to be written for our guidance, I'd better listen to them and try to understand them. And yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Who now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? And the righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them. And you notice he says, and dieth in them. That means continue to the end. Either way. For his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considers and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live and shall not die. You know, there's yet that the house of Israel and the way of the Lord is not equal. The house of Israel are not my ways equal, are not your ways unequal. Now you know, we have a fault among us as humans. We can't hardly see and understand some of the ways of the Lord because his ways are different than the human ways. And a lot of times we can't see beyond what is our human understanding, our human ways. And when we go back and say that well, Christ can judge them according to our ideas. We're mistaken. There is no man that of himself can judge the judgment that Christ has to judge. It's just beyond all we can do. If we have a friend and he has done something, we know we're just pretty apt to overlook part of it. Do we see somebody, a neighbor or a friend out here? Oh, he's a good man. We wouldn't condemn him. But is he keeping all the law of Christ? When we stop and look, we know he's not. When he gets over on the other side, we don't know how much Christ is going to be able to forgive of his ways or our ways, either one. And Nephi tells us very plainly that we'll be saved by grace after all we can do. So we've got to do our utmost to keep the commandments of Christ, or we cannot be saved by grace. And you hear preachers get up and tell you, well, we're going to be saved by grace. And some of them will tell you, well, there's none going to be lost except Satan. And I have heard some say that even that the old Satan is going to be saved. Well, if he is, I don't know. I don't believe he is, in fact. And if he is, I might be like to tell the story of the man that was holding a revival meeting. And he said, all that wants to go to heaven stand up. And they all stood up except one old man. He stood up and the preacher went back, talked to him. He said, brother, don't you want to go to heaven? He says, not a fall of that guy today. And I think I'd be the same way if I thought Satan was going to be saved over there. But at the same time, I don't think he's going to be. I'm going to turn back to the 14th chapter of Ezekiel now to get some more of what is taught in, what I say, the scriptures written by some of the other prophets. Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 13 and read down to 20. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand unto it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and I will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. You know that would be quite a thing, but when I get to reading this, it's going to give you a little bit different idea. Well, maybe not different, but a little harder. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon the land and say, sword, go through the land, so that it cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but they shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence upon the land and pour out my fury upon it, in blood to cut off from it man and beast, for Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Point that our righteousness is not going to deliver anybody else. Neither is anybody else's righteousness going to deliver us. But we're going to have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. When a man is righteous, as Daniel, and Noah, and Job, and we've all heard the stories of all three of those men, how righteous they were, and if they couldn't save a son or a daughter or their righteousness, you think we could save anybody else? Now that's not saying that where it comes to that judgment bar, that humans wouldn't judge the same as God's sin. You think that when your son or daughter had lived a life that you considered a good, righteous life, and you couldn't save him, don't you think there's something a little bit difficult there, or a little bit odd or wrong or something, according to the human mind, we would think that way. But not God. He considers each individual for their own work, not the work of somebody else. And when it comes down to that, that the Lord says we are going to be judged for our work, you know, that throws out a lot of belief that we've heard in other churches. And then to turn back to John. About the 12th chapter. I believe it's that what I want in it. John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Showing how, shall I say, powerful those words are. And this is the words of Christ. Christ is talking. And he said that the words he spoke will judge us at the last day. If you're going to turn back there to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I'm going to read to you a little bit about how some of that judgment is going to be. It's a little lengthy reading. I have read part of it times before, so have others. But I want to bring it back to your memory. 25th chapter, I'm going to begin with verse 31. I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. And this says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. But I don't say part of the people, it says all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You know how a shepherd would divide the goats from the sheep? You think he'd be part of the sheep among the goats and part of the goats among the sheep? You don't say so. And I don't think the shepherd would sort his goats and sheep that way. I think he'd put the goats on one side and the sheep on the other. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, you know, there's a reference or two in the Book of Mormon where the people were told to obey the commandments so that they would be on the right hand of the majesty on high as he set the sheep on the right hand. And that's what they were trying to tell those people that they wanted them to be on the right hand of he set his sheep. Then shall the king, I read that, where the Jews told him to inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. For I was in hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when shall we be in hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When shall we be a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when shall we be sick, or in prison, and say unto thee, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Showing that we can commit acts in this life to the least of these my brethren, and that's what's in everybody. So as we have done it unto them, we've done it unto him. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and ye clothed me, and ye nursed me not. Then shall also answer him, saying, Lord, when shall we be an hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, and naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting, into life eternal. Does this show us anything? How many times have you seen people, somebody might say, have hard luck? I wouldn't help him out under no consideration. He brought it on himself. Is that the attitude that we should take? Or should we take the attitude, I'll help him what I can? It says, unto the least of these, my brother. That don't mean that Christ has got to be here personally for us to do something for him. It means that we've got to do something in our everyday life that we think is okay. Not just go about this life like a turtle in a shell and not pay any attention to anybody else. We've heard talk about people that are 16. They can get, how they should be thinking. We can understand the scriptures as we are here. If we don't understand them, we should try to look a little bit and see if we can't find something that we could understand. If we don't understand the scriptures, God will help us if we ask him. I'm going to read a chapter out of 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse. Says, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Showing that we want to consider that we're going to be judged by the Lord, and not say, well, we know it all. He says here, for I know nothing by myself. We need the Lord's help to help us to know things. And if we don't know, there's one that we can go to. And he will help us. I'm going to go back to his research a little bit more. out of the second chapter, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. And when I left, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was seen within and without. And there was written therein lamentation and mourning and woe. Now down in the third chapter, I'm going to read about four verses. No, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, seek this roll, and go straight into the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat to it that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak of my words unto them. And showing that he had to get these words into him, that he might go to the house of Israel and speak unto them. And when one of the prophets of old was told to eat that roll, how should we? You know that roll of scripture. How should we get scripture except to my soul? Live upon me, think upon me. If we would live more upon the word of God, it would help us more in our daily life. Help us to think upon him as we go about our work. If you're thinking about him as you go about your daily walk of life, you wouldn't be doing some of the things that are done a lot of times. Now further down, chapter 3. I'm going to read 17 through 21. Now this one here, shall I say, is a little bit hard on the man standing up here. Showing him a thing or two that he's got to do. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now that was speaking to Ezekiel, but that speaks to all of the ministry, especially. Maybe I should say some among the laymen too. They are watchmen unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Do you want the blood of somebody else required at our hand? Yet if that thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require upon him. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Showing that all those, well, like I said, especially in the ministry, if they warn the people, then it's up to the people to live their own life and work out their own salvation. If they do not, and they have been warned, the man bearing the warning has delivered his own self. And you know that question, a lot, okay. Not only what was said, what was good. What was said, and the example that was set before the people. Did we set an example that will cause us to warn the people? Or do we not? Is our example good or is it not? That's what we have to judge, is our example all right. And we've got to judge it by the things that are written in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Not by what we think, and not by what man says, but set an example according to the teachings of God. Over in Titus, I'm going to turn to that now a little bit. First chapter, I'm going to read 16:9. And this is, I got it, my word over the people. And Titus has been left very sick. Four main elders in every city have we been appointed. If any do blame us, a husband and one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor cipher, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Now you know, this lady, wife, aged, a lot, shall I say, of qualification, said, all our people, how many of those qualifications? How could any be picked out among the people if they didn't have that kind of man among them? blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of wrath and unruly. That should go not only for a bishop, and it's speaking of the bishop, spiritual bishop, bishop of the soul. That should go for all Christians, that they should raise their family in that condition. I'm going over to chapter 2 now. It says, young man likewise is right to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruption, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That doesn't say the ministry. That says young men. If a young man could be under those conditions, shouldn't an old man be? Now, I read in the second chapter, verses 6 through 8. It's really some things that we should stop and take note of. And here we are. Talk about some of the people that we have read and how the stories read to us about how the Bible. We read of the people of Nineveh. They were the wicked people. And when they were threatened with destruction, they changed their ways. I believe you have seen all of the past. Prayer, the slaughtering such and such, brought an altar, and repented of their sins, so that the Lord would not be destroyed from the beginning. Because they repented, he saved the city. I want to read you one more. Out of 2 Nephi, the 12th chapter, I'm going to begin with verse 19, and I'm going to read about three verses, and then I'm going to skip down the road. Woe unto them that turn aside a just thing